You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
How you doing, sir? What can I do for you? And I told him I need you to bring back something.
Football back. We in the crowd screaming out football back. It's kickoff time. We in love with the money. These chickens shaking they pom-pom. Shelly, this my honeys. We yelling football back.
Welcome to another edition of the Two-Pack Podcast. After a week off for the holidays, hope everyone had an enjoyable one. I know many of you did not have an enjoyable Sunday. He is Nick Bornheimer, fresh off a plane from Wisconsin, going back home. Yep. I know he's amped up and ready to rock. I am bronzed a bit, fresh off a plane from Florida. I went back home for the holidays as well. Coming to you from a New York City rooftop today. I like how we keep changing the locale. Rare is it that we get to talk Packers with a view of Lady Liberty, which I guess is bringing us a little bit of joy, given the current state of things as we record this on a Monday after the Packers get absolutely abused by the Arizona Cardinals 38-8.
Yeah, I think abused, and it's strange for me to say this, but that might be putting it lightly. They got trounced. They got obliterated. It was never, ever close. Well, it was quasi-close when you thought Aaron Rodgers was going to throw a touchdown, and they were in the red zone, and it looked promising. And then he threw a weird Aaron Rodgers, non-Aaron Rodgers-like interception. And then momentum might have shifted when Mike Daniels had that interception. And I mean, but those are still kind of pipe dreams. It was never close. I'm just like grasping at straws here.
Yeah, when Mike Daniels had an interception, it was a one-score game or a two-score game that you thought they were about to make a three-point game. And everything would have been okay, and then the game just very quickly got away from them after that. Yesterday, to me, just felt like one giant test to see how far we could push Packers Twitter. To see, like, how extreme people could get to JS Comments-like level, the Twitter handle that we all love to follow and read, of just crazy comments. But then, you know, you started to see less and less crazy people tweet things that looked like they should be coming from JS Comments. It felt like how far can
one
we push you
stream
before you give up? Yeah. So like, I honestly don't know where to start. I think my biggest takeaway from yesterday was actually, it was frustration at the way they played, and there's a lot of things wrong, and I'd be a homer to defend them, but I'm so annoyed with like the fatalistic Packers fan. I don't know if it's social media. I don't know what it is, Nick, but like,
so take me through it. What is it that
I feel like today in 2015 and for the past few years, for some weird reason, it's like everyone wants to be the first to proclaim the season to be over. It's like there's a rush. I know there's a lot of football to judge off of, but there's a like everyone wants to be the first one to say, "I told you so." So everyone like at one point this year is just saying, "Oh, they're not like season's over." And yesterday was just the day where everyone's saying the season's over, and it's annoying to me. I get a little bit of Mike McCarthy's frustration when he's saying they're a 10-win team, they're playoffs. Like they're going to play a playoff game regardless.
It's funny. It's weird to think that we're a team, the Packers are a team who are in the playoffs right now, and the season's already been proclaimed as over. It's doomed.
I mean, they might be having a home playoff game.
How like, there's a chance they have a home playoff game.
Right. It's just annoying. Like, you don't understand how many people would kill to be in your situation.
Yeah. Talk to the Buffalo Bills or the Detroit Lions or the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. And you know, and then we go the lengths of, you know, We will criticize the quarterback on this podcast today, and we'll probably criticize the coach, but we go the lengths of, you know, cleaning house needing to happen, and it's the 2015 hot takery and overreaction, and I need to make a definitive, you know, I need to take a definitive stance one way or another based on 60 minutes of football, when that's just not how anyone should act. Like, there's a lot of things wrong right now, but to just like throw your hands up and be like, season over, we're not winning a Super Bowl, even though they're probably not going to.
They're far and away, or they're far from the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, right now. That's just a note. Like, can you enjoy it? Like, people don't even want to watch the playoffs now. you'd rather talk draft today? Like, what the hell are you talking? Like, oh my God, that mentality just bothers me.
There's something a little refreshing about a team that you kind of know is just not firing on all cylinders going into the playoffs, and you can just consume it just to, you know, be a lover of the game of football, as opposed to last year where it was just gut-wrenching, heartbreaking. Yeah. I don't know.
How far back do you think you have to go? Because I actually looked this up today. How far back would you guess, if you didn't know, because I don't know if you do know, how far back do you think you would have to go to find a team that won a Super Bowl and has been beaten as bad as the Packers were beaten yesterday in that same season?
So the Packers lost by 30 points, right?
30 points.
38-8 was the final.
Like, a team that won on one given week that's been bad enough to lose by 30, but has been good enough to win a Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, and the NFL season's filled with ebbs and flows. I would assume that because you're asking the question, it's probably not too far back.
Right. I thought I was going to have to go in the way back machine. Like,
so think about this. Yeah, there's been a handful of 10-6 teams that have gotten hot and won a Super Bowl. Among those, the Packers in 2010.
But they never were losing by more than a
score. They never lost by a score.
Which was proof that they're not even capable of being that bad.
I remember the New York Giants, the year that they won the Super Bowl in Favre's last season with the Packers. They played early on in the season, and the Packers beat the Giants bad and ended up coming back, and the Giants beat them at Lambeau Field.
That was early in the season, though, right?
Right.
Big changes week two to week, you know, whatever, 20-something.
So
I'm talking Super Bowl.
So is it more recent than that?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And it's I didn't think it would be the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm not saying every year is different, every game is different. And I'm not saying, like, oh, the Packers can turn around next Sunday and just be great again and be what they looked like they were when they were 6-0.
So the Ravens, the year that they beat the Niners.
Yep, they lost by 30 to the Houston Texans late in this, mid to late season.
Okay.
And they're just a loss that you can't explain. Now, granted, that's to the Houston Texans. The Packers just lost like that on the road to a team that's, I mean, I still think we're sliding Carolina if we want to say Arizona's the best team in the NFC, but Arizona is damn good. There's not a team in football where I think Arizona would play and they would be more than like a 3-point underdog right now.
Yeah.
Because Carolina's the best record in the NFL. Like, we've seen the Patriots are beatable.
I don't know if you – I honestly think if Carolina and Arizona play
home
today, I think it's a pick-up.
I think if Carolina's at home, they're favored by 3. And I think that's the most you're going to get.
Well,
which basically, yeah,
is a pick-up because exactly. They're playing at home.
So I guess I'm just trying to say, like, yesterday got away from them in a huge way, but to declare the season over to me is totally unnecessary. Not even something you should be talking about. Like, will they win another game? They're gonna have to can they beat Minnesota in back-to-back weeks? Like, can we take it one week at a time and just like examine yesterday for what it was? Which I think we should do now.
Yeah.
So
what? Yeah. Jesus.
You want to play the blame game? I shouldn't say everyone. A lot of people like to say that Aaron Rodgers kind of skates through when it comes to the media and doesn't get a lot of blame. How much of it do you put on him?
There's always extenuating circumstances, and there are always a couple of variables at play. Look at the offensive line, man. It was a JV squad out there. Like you said it yesterday when we were watching the game. It looks like you're watching a preseason game.
Yeah, there was one point it was Barclay, Walker, Treader and Lane Taylor.
Lane Taylor.
Wish it were Lang. Lang actually played good yesterday.
And so did Balaga before he was banged up again.
Yeah. And we're just, you know, we're going. I haven't rewatched the game yet, but off the Pro Football Focus grades, Sitton, Lang, and Balaga all graded like pretty damn well. But yeah, there was a point where it was Lane Taylor. Now, granted, that's not with Aaron Rodgers in the game. It's like when you throw Tolzien under center. So it was like a preseason game.
Yeah, like a week four preseason game. Like not even anything to like get a good measure of your team. But when Josh Walker and Don Barclay are your starting tackles, and Aaron Rodgers is getting a millisecond to throw the ball, it is tough to say, okay, like he played poorly and it's his fault and his fault alone. But you keep bringing up Pro Football Focus. He did not score well yesterday on Pro Football Focus.
No, it was his lowest grade since his first year as a starter. Was actually lower than any other player on their offense, I believe. Which is saying something.
James Starks fumbled and...
Yeah, and Barclay and Walker got demolished all game.
I guess, did Rodgers fumble twice?
Three times. Yeah. Three fumbles and an interception.
Three fumbles and an interception.
A terrible completion percentage, a terrible passer rating.
Oh, four turnovers in the game total, right?
Yeah.
And they recovered one of...
Well, no. Yes, yes.
They recovered one of his fumbles.
Yes, exactly. Because the Starks fumble, yeah. So that's where the other fumble would come into play. All of
it all meshes together. Because at that point it was over. You were watching just like fatalistically like, well, what is going to happen here?
All of which basically almost, if not directly, led to 2 points. So... I think Rodgers deserves a good amount of the blame. I don't think he's absolving himself of the blame, but I also think to put it squarely on him is unfair. And I'm saying that while also not giving him all the credit, because we like to do this with quarterbacks. What we like to do is we like to give the quarterback and the coach all the credit, and oftentimes give the quarterback and the coach all the blame. I don't want to do that either way. Like I'm not going to do that when they're winning by a lot, and I'm not going to do it when they're losing by a lot. Granted, the interception, terrible. Like, that's a throw that he usually never makes, and it's a throw that I love that he doesn't make, even though some people want him to take more chances. It was just a bad throw. He's been inaccurate. But at the same time, the line he's playing behind and the pressure that Arizona is generating.
And the lack of separation that the wide receivers are still not getting.
I mean, you could literally blame all 11 guys on a given play.
Yeah.
there's a lot of times where you can say the line didn't do their job, the quarterback made a bad decision or fumbled. Like, that's another thing. Rodgers addressed that after the game. Ball security for him is usually well, good. So, fumbling three times, granted, you're getting hit, you're getting abused. Like, hang on to the ball and at least give us a shot to put our defense out in the field.
You can even go as far as blaming all 11 guys on the field and the schematics behind what play was called. Was it the right blocking protection based on who's on the field to keep the quarterback safe? Because, man, did he take some punishment yesterday. He got banged around. And a lot of it has to do with the line and just the lackluster performance and the, like we said, the JV guys who are out there trying to protect a future Hall of Fame MVP quarterback. But McCarthy said post-game, like, he takes a lot of responsibility and bears the burden for not putting the offense in the appropriate schematic formation to keep Rodgers from taking those kind of hits. Again, he put a lot of the blame on the line, and well, he never really places blame anywhere, but he kind of in his McCarthy-esque deflection type of way, it was, hey, like, it's on me. When we don't play well, it's the coach's fault. We have to do better as an offense and not put the quarterback in a position to get just completely obliterated, but it all comes down to a number of different things. And that's why you say, like, okay, well, it's easy to assign the blame to Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy when everything's going bad, and it's easy to give them all the praise when everything is going extraordinary. And it's just so many different things that have compounded into what's not been a very, very efficient, good season, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, a couple other things I saw yesterday. Being critical of the offense that I wanted to address, one, and when you're watching it, you probably agree with this, but the Packers have kind of found a little bit of a groove the past couple of weeks with McCarthy taking over the play calling and getting the running backs involved in the passing game, particularly the screen game.
Mm-hmm.
You think to yourself, Arizona's generating all this pressure. Why don't we throw more screens? And they ran a couple that actually were successful. But here's why you don't throw more screens. all that pressure Arizona was generating
was from
they were doing while they had linebackers spying, like or you could have linebackers in man coverage against your running backs, pretty good ones by the way, right? So it's not like they were sending six guys, seven guys, five guys every single time. They were just generating pressure because plays like the one, you know, that we saw. I mean, everyone's by now probably at some point seen, and I retweeted it at Alex Patakis, like. Plays like Don Barclay not even getting a finger on Dwight Freeney.
Who's 100, by the way.
Who's 100 and has got one move. He's been using that move since 1960. Like, God. And it works every time. And I get falling victim to it when Dwight Freeney's 25 or 26, and maybe you haven't seen it a million times. But when he's a one-trick pony at 87 years old, you think maybe you get a hand on him.
Don Barclay literally watched Dwight Freeney B-button past him and just went, okay, well.
It looked like, you know, do you ever play basketball like in the rec as a kid?
Yeah.
You ever do the drill where, like, you have your hands behind your back and you're just shuffling your feet to guard a guy?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It's like Don Barclay forgot that he can use his hands. Like, I don't understand that.
It was bad.
It was brutal. God, man, they need to help the offensive line, right? Is that the biggest thing? Just how bad their offensive line has been, is that a bigger problem than any of the other ones we've talked about?
I don't know, because every week it's something new. It's the wide receivers, or it's Aaron Rodgers not being Aaron Rodgers. This is just another subplot to the Packers' stagnant offense this season. Right now, I will say yes, it probably is the biggest issue, because if you can't keep the quarterback healthy, or if you can't give him any time, then the offense can't do anything at all.
Right, it just has zero chance.
Zero chance. And especially, I mean, that's like where your offense starts, whether you're running the ball or you need your offensive line pass pro, you have to have a solid offensive line. And if they're not healthy, or if they are healthy and they can't protect, then your offense has zero chance, just like you said.
Yeah. How would you go about fixing it? Because the other thing that I love from, and again, I am a football fan, but I also hate a lot of things about football fan. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, without proposing a better solution. Like, we're angry that Devontae Adams is still getting all these reps. And this was something that McCarthy was asked about by Jason Wilde, who you and I know and love and whatever. And everyone does. Everyone who follows the Packers knows them, and most people like them. He's at, basically, Wilde, it seemed like his question and his point to McCarthy was, you know, McCarthy said, like, Jared Everdare's had a drop, and that's why he saw his playing time fall off. Then how do you justify continuing to put Adams out there?
Yeah.
And we all want to hate Devontae Adams. That's like the new, you know, that's the new...
The popular...
Popular thing, yeah. Like, get him off the field, and he... You know, you saw that fade route sail through his hands, which is frustrating. But that's just another thing that we can bitch about. But there's no real solution there, right? Like,
not based on the personnel that they can possibly put on the field. I mean, it's easy to say give Aberderis a shot, and he's shown that he can be effective as like a possession guy. But we also saw him get murdered out of bounds. And he was out for 2 weeks. Like, I don't think he's durable. Or if he is, like, we don't have a big enough sample size. And Jeff Janis is, I mean, he has no discipline, it seems like, in terms of route running. He just doesn't run crisp routes. So I think we've gotten to the point this season where it's a little bit of McCarthy being bullheaded with his second round selection, Devontae Adams. And, I mean, there's been a game where he was targeted over 20 times this year. But a lot of it is just based on the lack of bodies that they can put on the field who wear a number 8 in front of their jersey number.
I also think it's a really easy thing to point to and be like, well, McCarthy's being hypocritical here. And I think it's unfair to not acknowledge that there's a difference going into the drop, right? There's a difference between Devontae Adams dropping a pass and Jared Everdarris. And not that Devontae Adams is some stud, but when Eddie Lacy fumbles, he's still going to get opportunities. When Crockett fumbles, let's say,
yeah,
he's probably not going to get them because there's an investment level there, and there's some evidence that that guy can play. We've seen a couple games last year where Devontae Adams showed a lot of glimpses. They fell in love with him in the preseason.
Preseason MVP, baby.
Preseason MVP. I mean, those are actual, you know, those are things that they take into account because they're not expecting it to continue because they think Devontae Adams is going to be a lot better than that. When you're the guy who comes in off the bench, like, just look at another sport. You're the guy who comes in off the bench in the NBA, and you go 0-5. You think your next game you're going to get a lot of minutes and play a bunch and be encouraged to take more shots? But if you're Kobe Bryant your whole career, or even if you're like just an average player who's a rotational guy who's shown the ability to go, you know, 5-of-8 some nights, like, you're going to continue to get those opportunities. So I don't love that Devontae Adams is out there. There's not a better solution on the team. Like, there were times in the game where they were running two wide receiver sets with Randall Cobb in the backfield, and the two wide receiver, like, look how far we've fallen. The two wide receivers are James Jones, who's clearly over the hill, and Jared Aberderis, who still, at the NFL level, is extremely unproven. Like,
yeah.
This team that used to have Jordy Nelson, like, Randall Cobb was like a fourth or fifth option.
Yeah.
An embarrassment of riches at the pass-catching position, and that's where you're at.
I mean,
you sound defeated by that whole thing.
It's just a perplexing, I guess, thing to try to dissect or unpack, because there's always been a prolific, bountiful amount of receiving options for Aaron Rodgers. Like, remember that Sports Illustrated cover like 4 years ago where it was Greg Jennings,
yeah,
James Jones, JerMichael Finley, Jordy Nelson, and I don't know if Randall Cobb was on the team then. That might have been the fifth. I don't recall off the top of my head. But that was like, they're when you're talking fourth, fifth options, and you've got guys like JerMichael Finley and James Jones, who at that point in time was, you know, a lot more youthful than he is now. It's just strange to have Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis as viable options. And, like, people are calling for Jeff Janis to take the top off the defense because they don't have anybody who can run at all. They have nobody who can hit you with that play action, shot play, get outside the pocket, and just, like, go streak downfield. They've got Randall Cobb, who demands a ton of attention, and then everybody else. And running backs who, like you mentioned, the screen game, but James Starks can't hold on to the ball. He's fumbled four times in the last four games, and we watched his, and I think we're going to watch his playing time diminish a little bit as well. But Eddie Lacy he's been very inconsistent this year too. The offense is in shambles, right? Like, I just talked myself into a weird circle because I don't know. I'm trying to find a silver lining, and it doesn't exist.
I think this is just like, this is what the Cardinals have done to the Packers. We're so all over the place because we're trying, like, we're talking about a million different problems that were all even further exposed. There's no way to you know, talk about just one big thing because there is no one big thing. It's a lot of little things, and that it kind of sucks. But like I said, I also, you know, the rush to judgment, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to have to win one home game and then go from there. And at least you're in the second round of the playoffs and you roll the dice. The idea of going to Arizona 3 weeks after what happened yesterday and having any prayer is, it's almost impossible to imagine.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to think so. At least that's the bravado that he displayed post game.
I think that's just what he has to say, right? I mean,
or do you really think he believes it?
I don't think he believes it.
You know,
and that's probably.
Do you think McCarthy does? Because he said the same thing, just not with as much hubris.
I think at the beginning of the year they might have thought, you know, when the problems first started to arise and they got exposed by Denver, which, at this point, I would love for a game like Denver as opposed to a game like yesterday. I thought that was as bad as it would get. I thought there was a point there where they thought it was just like some weird thing that they had to work out, and they were kind of in a funk. And now I think that they are realizing there are big-time issues. And I would think McCarthy would be crazy not to actually believe that, regardless of what he says. And let's not pick everything he says apart because part of his job as an NFL coach is to not tell you a lot of what he's thinking. Like, he's never going to tell you what he's actually thinking.
Yeah, he's more reserved than most, though.
Yeah.
But still, you're right.
So I would think he has to believe that they don't have a lot of firepower right now, but he's not just going to throw everyone under the bus. And I think Rodgers would have to think that. I mean, do some lip reading, man. How frustrated is he
with everyone? Aaron Rodgers all the time.
I mean, yeah, you're that.
But this season, it's more. I think they're panning to him a little bit more too, and it's always just at this chin strap.
Yeah, angry chin strap unbuckle. Angry that Davante Adams dropped that. Can't believe this guy. What that, you know, Jeff Janis is like doing his own thing, and Rodgers is thinking to himself like, how am I going
to
throw?
How did we get to this point?
Yeah.
Where I've got Josh Walker on one end and Don Barclay just olaying a senior citizen so that I get pile driven into the ground.
Olaying a senior citizen.
That's what happened. And I think it's just funny that he just watched him go. That's like, I think like, if we're trying to capture, you know how like sometimes you can point to one instance or one specific play or sequence of plays that just like epitomize the game as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was for me yesterday. I don't know why. Or the sequence where they did the fake punt and got the first down on a weird-looking masked a two-yard scramble and then proceeded to go three and out afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a comedy of errors all around.
Full disclosure, I got a little drunk yesterday.
Okay.
I don't remember. Everyone's
listening anyways.
I'm not saying like I forgot plays, like I blacked out. I'm just saying, thinking about it in my head, it doesn't even feel like I watched a football game. It feels like I watched a highlight reel of Arizona's defense. Because like I'm trying to think like, well, we haven't mentioned the Packers' defensive side of the ball aside from the Mike Daniels interception. I want to say that they didn't play that great, but I feel like I didn't even see them enough. Like, I feel like we didn't even see them with Arizona, like, starting and driving their own territory enough times to make a definitive statement as to whether or not if these teams play again, the Packers' defense couldn't keep them in the game.
Yeah, and it wasn't...
I have no clue if they can or can't.
I think that they... It wasn't fair to the defense because they're starting in their own territory half the time, three-quarters of the time, after, like, a momentous fumble recovery or interception or whatever the situation was. I mean, that's not fair to get off the field, get your team off the field, and then immediately get put right back on the field.
I could tell you one thing you better not see if they do match up again. This is the only takeaway for me from the defense yesterday, and we knew this going in. In fact, a colleague of ours, Josh, Kitty as we call him, we were talking on the train on the way to work, and we were saying before the Packers played the Cardinals, you know what's really going to suck? When they give the ball to David Johnson in space and Jake Ryan just gets exposed as unathletic and slow again. Because he was last
ding,
week
ding,
against the Raiders. And what do you know? If there's one thing you can say for certain, it's that if these two teams play again, and Jake Ryan comes anything close to having to play man coverage against their running backs in space... There
just
needs to be, yeah, like somebody, something has to happen in that spot.
I've seen a lot of A.J. Hawk 2.0 or the slow white middle linebacker comparison drawn or parallels. I mean, what you're asking him to do is not...
It's not fair. It's not fair to him.
It's not. And you shouldn't have him isolated on David Johnson coming out of the backfield who... throughout the season has proven like, hey, he's pretty good in open space.
Yeah.
That's not fair, and that's schematics. That's Dom Capers not putting him in a position to fail like that.
Yeah, know your personnel. I mean, there are teams you can do that. Carolina Panthers, right? Luke Kuechly was covering Julio Jones 30 yards down the field. Granted, he got beat,
but yeah, he was in position, kind of.
He was trying to high point the ball against Julio Jones, and you know what? He was in great position against that
Julio
type
Jones
of receiver.
Just a superb athlete.
Jake Ryan should never be in that position, but I just think, yeah, it's just like I almost forgot that there's another side of the ball that I feel like I barely even got to see against Arizona's offense. And that was what I was most excited about going into this game was, especially with Shields out, a young secondary that you're kind of excited about. Some guys have shown some glimpses, really get tested. And in the little bit of football we did see, they didn't hold up particularly great. I thought Michael Floyd kind of abused them. He's a big boy, by the way.
Big
he
boy.
Gained weight. He looks like a tight end.
Fast. He looks like Anquan Boldin used to look in the Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, but like taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, and I don't even know. He's just like, he's almost round in a way. Like, he's just like blocky. He's like a power forward. And if he wants to run a slant, like if he just gets position on you, you can't even like go around him to try to break up the pass. But yeah, so I was super pumped about that matchup. Anyway, we talked mentioning like if they play Arizona again, brings me to another thing.
Okay.
Before we get to hot or not, to some other big picture things, and we determine whether or not those statements are actually hot takes that are, you know, just outrageous, or if they're actually things that we believe, we may believe in ourselves. The playoff machine is something I toyed with this morning in preparation for this podcast.
Yep.
Basically, the Packers lose to Minnesota this coming Sunday at home. You never want to go into the playoffs on that note.
Like, no.
Having a chance to clinch your division at home, home crowd, losing after you lost by 30 to another playoff team. But it would mean you're at Washington, and it would guarantee that you could avoid Seattle in the first round. And if their season ends at the hands of Seattle this year again, I'm just gonna be broken as a fan. I may never return to football.
Yeah,
like I'd rather just give up.
I'd rather lose. You like that?
Yeah, I'd rather lose to Cousins. I would rather lose to the Vikings, even division rival. Anyone but that team. Granted, I would also love to play them at home and beat them because that would be really sweet. But as far as the path, there's some chatter now that losing on Sunday wouldn't be the worst thing because it would mean you go to Washington, and I believe, depending on the winner of what would then be a Seattle-Minnesota game, there's a chance, if somehow Minnesota beat Seattle, that you would then go
to Arizona, right?
Well, no, sorry, flip it. That Seattle would beat Minnesota, which I think is entirely possible.
Totally.
That you could go to Carolina, and I don't... Look, I think every team in the playoffs right now is a bit of a matchup problem for the Packers, given the way their offense is playing. But do you look at yesterday's 38-8 loss and say, I would rather play any team than Arizona right now, and I would feel way better about them winning a road game at the Redskins than a home game against Minnesota or Seattle?
Yeah.
It's hard to play the matchup game. There's right now you're scared of everyone, but I'm just saying.
I'm not very scared of the Redskins. You don't want to go into the playoffs on a somber note like that, just like you mentioned. But wouldn't you rather play a terrible team from the NFC East? And I say terrible because I think every team in that division was not good this year. I don't know.
Cousins is playing better than Rodgers right now, but if Cousins and Rodgers match up in the playoff, like, the Packers will be favored going into that game.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think the Packers are terrible, too. I think that would be not a good football game. Just not.
Two undeserving teams, right? The Packers are deserving, given their record and their entire body.
I know,
this is
me becoming more and more downtrodden, and we just got done saying they're still 10-5 team. They're still in the playoffs. Yeah, you don't ever want to go into the playoffs as cold as the Packers would be if they lost next week, because they're playing for the NFC North title. They're not going to lay an egg, you wouldn't think, at
home.
I think
the moment we start to even discuss this is basically an admission that we don't think that they can win this. Like, they have no chance, right? Like, the moment that you even start to question, like, well, it's slightly easier if we have to go through Washington, then
right.
You just give up. Because last year going into the postseason, everyone was like, bring on Seattle.
Yeah.
I'll go to the link, bring it, we're going to dominate them. And they did for, you know, 3 3/4 of a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird place to be in, to be like, we could get one playoff win if we go to Washington as opposed to having to host Seattle.
Yeah, when you start doing the matchup game, you're like, well, it might be a little bit better if, you know, if we get to lose this game but then play this game, and then you still have to go through everybody.
Yeah,
right?
At some point you're going to have to play Carolina, Arizona, maybe Seattle, like, just to get there, because you don't even have a bye now. That's the one thing we do know, so... You kind of just got to buck up. And like I said, I'm just going to just enjoy it. I'm not going to sit there and go into the game thinking like, oh, this sucks to have to sit there and just watch them get their doors blown off them. I'm going to go into it thinking, you know what? Like, I get to watch playoff football. I get one more Sunday than a lot of other teams before I have to, like, find other things to do on that day.
That's the mature, grounded approach, in my opinion. Alex, I'm a little proud of you for saying that, even.
Are you really?
I don't know if I believe it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Because, like, I'm that way on Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, you're a different type of human.
I'm different for 60 minutes on Sunday. Much like players, how they could be, like, nice, normal people, and then they just are people you wouldn't necessarily want to be around because they're lunatics.
Alex exudes the Ray Lewis of fandom on Sundays. Gotta get up in that chest plate!
You do. That's something we say frequently. Oh, by the way, when I was home for the holidays, some family had been listening to this podcast without I wasn't even aware.
Wow.
And they liked Fake McCarthy. They said that they were, like, shocked and thought that Fake McCarthy sounded good.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't get through the rest of the podcast, actually.
So we may have to incorporate that at some point. Maybe I could defend myself as Fake McCarthy, because I feel like all I do now is defend McCarthy on Twitter. Which, again, speaking of, you know, wanting to point out a problem but not having any idea for a solution.
That's the easiest way to do it, right?
Yeah, go ahead and fire Mike McCarthy and tell me the coach with the better resume you're going to hire. Sean Payton?
Nope.
Pretty similar resume, right? If he is indeed out of New Orleans.
And one major blemish on his resume as well. I mean, if you're going to talk about Bountygate, but whatever.
Sure, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you take the names away from it, we fire one coach, okay?
Yep.
And then you're immediately going out to look for a guy with what? Because the offense is broken, an offensive pedigree with a proven history of making offenses great. Maybe even he can call plays. He's probably got a championship pedigree, right? All of these things that you currently have. I don't think there's even a thought in Ted Thompson's mind that Mike McCarthy would get fired, because I think he's as level-headed as anyone.
Yeah.
But the fact that we even have to have that conversation because of what's going... Like, give me the coach in the NFL who's going to go out and win a game with Josh Walker, Don Barclay, and the receiving options the Packers have right now. He doesn't exist.
I mean, unless you're going to subscribe to the Bill Belichick can do no wrong.
Which he... Okay, well, this is a very bad Monday to subscribe to that, because you could try to defend the thought process all you want against the Jets. Bill Belichick got a little too cute, and they lost to a team that's probably worse than them. So it happens to everyone.
It does.
I'm just, like, even he. And they've been struggling. Like, if you take away Gronkowski, you take away Edelman from that offense, guess what? They're not as good. They're all of a sudden in close games or losing to teams they have no business losing to. So it happens everywhere, even with the best coach in the league. Now I'm ready to go on a rant. I think we found it. I think we're like 20-something minutes in, 30-something minutes in, and I found the crux of my argument that we should have just led with. I am more passionate about not wanting to get rid of McCarthy than I think anything else on this team, while acknowledging how bad their offense has been. It's just ludicrous. Bill Belichick, after they beat the Patriots last year, just like, when have you ever heard, I mean, he praises a lot of people. He admitted he was out coached and said that Mike McCarthy's like one of the best
offensive coaches and play callers he's
ever faced. Okay, so if you want to believe that he's the best, and maybe we need someone like him because those guys grow on trees, why don't you take it from his mouth when he's telling you the coach you have is great? Oh, man.
Don't get me wrong. McCarthy has his flaws, just like any great coach in the NFL does. Questionable decisions, sticking with Clemens for as long as he did and not taking over the play calling. I mean, we go back to seasons past with interesting decisions on challenges, like small nitpicky things. But how many, it's just amazing how quick you are to throw a head coach to the wolves when something doesn't go exactly according to plan. But we don't have Mike Pettine as our coach.
Yeah.
We don't have, well, Jack Del Rio is an interesting situation because he's been all over the place since having an okay season this year, but like just one of those random like insert a journeyman coach or somebody who came up through the ranks, like a Tom Sula. Like, who knows how he got a head coaching job. But like, McCarthy has gotten the Packers to the playoffs every single year except for a handful. Not even, like, in Rodgers' first season as a starter, which was like a total, like, feel-out season. Like, that should not even count on the books.
And they lost a bunch of games that year even by one score.
Right.
Which, like, you felt good about. Like, we just won six games with a first-time starter who looks good, and a lot of those 10 losses that we had were close.
They haven't gotten to the playoffs since that point. Yet, everyone's calling for his head. How many Fire McCarthy tweets did we get on Twitter yesterday?
There's a guy
whose entire Twitter is dedicated to firing McCarthy.
And yeah, I don't know, having fun with that yesterday at the bar. I remember that. I'm trying to pull it up right now, actually.
His bio is, God, what is it? Look it up. But it's something to the tune of, McCarthy is a water-headed something. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. What is he?
I probably botched it.
Is he a merman?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, here's the latest tweet. I hate everything about this season. I absolutely hate everything about McCarthy. What a god-awful coach. Fire him now. You just want to read his pro... I think he hit me with like a really well-reasoned tweet like at some point this morning that just totally caught me off guard. Yeah, water-headed idiot.
What? If somebody wants to tweet at Nick Bornheimer, at Alex Patakis, and tell me what a water-headed idiot is or why I should even like recognize that as an insult, then I might give this guy a little more credit. But until then, he's just a dude whose entire Twitter presence is dedicated to getting rid of McCarthy at all costs.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask him who an appropriate replacement might be, just to your point. Like you said, now you got me all passionate about it.
It is. It's maddening. I also realized that the hot or not questions that we have had planned out are things we ended up going off on tangents about, and like we could have just saved them when we planned to talk about them. So I might have to wing it and come up with some of my own.
It's kind of better that way, anyways. Isn't it?
Yes, indeed. All right, so I need the little tick tick timer, and I need the halal guy in the corner saying some weird stuff that we can barely hear.
Know what halal is? Just out of curiosity.
Not many.
Okay.
I don't know. You were just there. Did it come up with anyone?
It didn't. Believe it or not.
Just like meat on the street kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, just
dirty street meat.
The weird, we live in an expensive city, and New York City is a beautiful place, but it's one of the few places it's acceptable to just get questionable meat from a street cart. For $4.
Yep.
When there's like amazing restaurant options all around you.
Yeah, we're a couple poor kids. You gotta do what you gotta do.
That's true. Okay, so hot or not? I'm going to throw them out. We're going to debate whether or not these are hot, lukewarm, face-melting hot, whatever phrases we said last week the first time we did something like this. Here's the first take. No pun intended.
Okay.
That's not even a pun, but whatever. Is it?
It's not. Yes, it is.
Okay. The first take, hot or not, the Packers will be lucky to make it past the wild card game.
That's not a hot.
That's not.
It's
right?
not a uh-huh. hot take. Not a hot take. No, because they're going to be favored going into that game. No matter which way you skin it, right? They're either going to be the three.
If they're the road team at Washington, I think they're definitely favored. Because the only way they'd be the home team
is if they had beaten
Minnesota.
And then they play Minnesota. They'd play them in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
I think. Or could they? Yeah, because
I
no matter
you're
what,
right.
if
yeah.
you're the one who was going playoff machine.
No. If they win, there's still a possibility they play Seattle at home.
Because Seattle could lose to Arizona, and then I don't know how it breaks down.
Minnesota would be a higher wild card when the Packers would then be the three seed. They can only be the three or the five. They're never going to be the four. So basically what happens is if Seattle is the higher ranked wild card or the lower ranked wild card than Minnesota, which can happen if Seattle loses to Arizona. It's actually probable, right? I don't know if Arizona's going to be playing for a lot, but if Arizona beats Seattle and the Packers win, Minnesota goes to Washington and Seattle comes to Green Bay.
Yep.
Which that one I still think the Packers are favored in because it would mean...
So that would be the matchup where it would be. That's the one matchup that I don't feel very good
about.
That
might be a pick'em.
Yeah.
That might be a pick'em. Given until
Seattle did not play well yesterday, though.
Right. Until then, like, God, it's hard, man.
So, well, to answer your question.
I don't think they're going to be an underdog regardless.
To answer your question, it's not a hot take because they should win that first round game.
I agree. I'm with you on that. We don't even have to spend that much time on that one. All right. Hot or not? Not necessarily Mike McCarthy, but there are jobs at stake the next 2 weeks for the Green Bay Packers.
Again, that's not a hot take. Of course there are. There's always a job at stake.
We should specify.
You're talking on the coaching staff?
Yeah, like obviously guys are always playing for their job. Like, you know, we put our best 11 on the field at all times, whatever. I'm saying coaching changes. Like if this season ends in a dumpster fire and they lose to Minnesota and then they lose again.
Yeah, that's tougher because McCarthy's not going anywhere. Ron Zook's probably not going anywhere. They already made their special teams change last year. And quite frankly, special teams has been okay, right?
Yeah.
They haven't been that bad.
How about the mass they fake punt yesterday? Another thing I forgot about because all I keep thinking about is like Aaron Rodgers getting hit and fumbling. And
then promptly just punting it away anyways.
Oh my God, how maddening is that? There should be a rule. It should be like if you fake a punt,
you have to go for it on fourth down the rest of the drive.
Yeah, like challenges. Like if you run out of challenges,
that's a great rule.
You're giving up your right to then challenge again. If you go for it on fourth down
on that drive,
you're giving up your right to ever punt the football. That drive is either ending in a turnover on downs, an actual turnover, or a score for you.
Yep.
That's the only option.
I think we should pioneer that initiative.
You shouldn't even be able, if you do it more than once, you can't kick a field goal. you can't even kick a field goal on that drive.
Yes, all of that.
How do we get, we work on Park Avenue. Can we just like take a 20 block ride up to Goodell's office? And
I'm sure he'll be receptive to us.
I'm sure he's got time to listen to us.
Yeah.
And by
the way, the whole concussion thing, well, that's a different story.
Yeah, don't worry about the movie that calls you out by name in its trailer that is being...
I didn't peg Goodell as a Luke Wilson guy, by the way.
Never in a million years. I mean, I can't think of a better actor right now. Just like you can't think of a better head coach right
now. I've got one. I don't know the actor's name, but Harvey Dent. That's a great Roger Goodell.
Oh, he would be
And that just came to me.
I don't know his name either. He would be a really good one. I'm gonna pull up his name while bringing you back to the point. What was it? So you don't think it's a hot take that jobs are at stake?
Okay.
I don't think Zook's job's at stake.
No. I was just going through the coaching carousel. So it's interesting because Clements is like the weird outlier.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Does he still have a position? Because Edgar Bennett is now the offensive coordinator. And Clements is the assistant head or the associate head coach. Whatever the...
Aaron Eckert. He would be an outstanding Roger Goodell.
Right?
Yep.
That's our... I think we should also... tell Roger about that as well. Or Will Smith or somebody. Who directed that movie? I haven't seen it. Is it good? Who knows?
I don't know. I have a million movies to see. Most people do that over the holidays. I didn't see a single one.
So the disarray that the Packers are in has also put us in such an extreme disarray that we are all over the place
My
right
sleep
now.
Cycle is like a total wreck. I get really tired at like 1 p.m. every day now because I haven't had a full night's sleep.
We have not maintained a consistent thought on this podcast. The Two Pack Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It's usually better than this. We're all over. But anyways.
That's our slogan. Two-pack podcast. We're usually better.
Okay, so I don't think it's a hot take because...
Because Clements is the one... I think he's gone.
He might have...
Barring the season ending unexpectedly well, he's gone.
Right.
How do you go back from that? How do you come back from like being given those responsibilities and being stripped of them, and now you're sitting there with a BS made-up title...
Sitting up, people
who call plays have.
Sitting upstairs and who knows, like McCarthy after the play call or after the switch in paradigm was made, it was, well, you know, like it used to be where he was calling plays and I was checking on things. Now I'm calling plays and he's checking on things. What is Clemens really checking on? McCarthy just has the reins right now.
Yeah. Checking how covered every receiver is.
Yeah. Like you're doing a good job of that, yeah. Well, Mike's pretty still easy all
to
covered.
Do. If I could get paid what he's getting paid to just tell you every play, yep. Looks like he had nowhere to go. Good thing he took a sack. I would be pretty happy. But, like, yeah, so he's in a situation now. Like, there are some guys with that title who are obviously the play callers. Even defense. I think, doesn't Dick LeBeau have that same title? Like, associate head coach dash defense or whatever, he's not the defensive coordinator, but he is calling the plays. I'm pretty sure he does have that. And I think there are guys like that, but I think Clemens is just in no man's land. And at the same time, it kind of sucks because there's been all these years where his value was sky high, where he thought maybe he leaves the organization for a promotion, and they basically prevented that from happening by giving him this promotion. But now, like, I don't know. I mean, he's going to get a job somewhere, but
yeah,
I don't know how maybe how sought after
he's
going to be.
Maybe Joe Philbin can collaborate on something.
So what probably ends up happening is McCarthy continues to call the plays. They promote Alex Van Pelt to offensive coordinator because Rodgers loves him, and he could be the offensive coordinator slash quarterback.
So what happens to Edgar Bennett?
And then I think Bennett should go back to honestly, like I don't know if he'll view it as a demotion or whatever, because I still don't know what he's doing as an offensive coordinator on a team whose head coach calls the plays, and even when the head coach didn't, the other guy who doesn't have a made-up title
right.
did. But I would go put him back as a receivers coach, because I was actually reading Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press-Gazette's column on this. He's been writing some really good opinion stuff. I mean, of course, he's always been really good, but the past few weeks, and one of those things, God, we should have talked about this earlier too. We are just a wreck. But he was saying, like, if you want to, like, just, again, this is kind of like we're guessing here, and he even says that in the thing. Like, there's no way to actually know how big of an impact this has. But the receivers suck out of nowhere. They don't even have a coach who's solely the receiver coach. Like, Alex Van Pelt is a wide receiver coach. Alex Van Pelt's doing a million different things.
Wide receivers. And does Edgar Bennett still do running backs and – or do they have
– No, he's not the running backs coach. So,
no,
like –
because now he's strictly their OC.
I think you could probably sit Edgar Bennett down and be like, we were so good at the little things when you were the wide receivers coach, and your attention to detail is amazing. Your ability to relate to guys is amazing. And our receiving corps was at its best when you were coaching it. We want you to, like, do that again. And maybe there's some other responsibilities built in there. But I actually think the only guy that might be gone is Clemens. And every, like, guys take, like, quasi-promotions, but it's just a rearranging of, like, the chairs on the deck there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the deck of the Titanic.
Okay.
Because I don't think I don't think this offense is sinking permanently. In fact, I would still, if I had to today, bet money on them being a very good offense again next season.
It all hinges on Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, and what they do in the draft, which I can't wait to get into that when we just start doing full podcasts.
We're
going to
get
wishes.
Real nerdy. We're going to start being less reactionary and just real nerdy, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, and then we could bring on a wider range of people who just specialize in, like, doing draft scouting stuff. Like, where we don't have to have them, you know, like, focus solely in on, like, one position group or one single game to break everything down, which will be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that as well. So that if I had to make one prediction for the staff, I would say Clemens gone. Then I would rearrange it the way that we kind of just made up in our heads. And then hopefully Capers sticks around because they've been good.
Yeah.
And away you go. There's your staff. Oh, I wanted to bring this up too. So a good friend of both of ours, Charlie.
Yep.
He and I had a back and forth on Twitter, and I thought that he brought up something that I had never actually, like, taken time to think about, but, and I don't really think it's talked about that often, but it's a pretty unique take, and I wanted to bring it up on the podcast. So he was saying, at SnowTapWI, by the way, S-N-O, no W, Tap W-I, our good friend Charlie, he runs a blog, and follow him if you don't, there's good tweets there. He was saying that just the very, like, presence of Tom Clemens probably, like, contributes to the rift between Rodgers and McCarthy, if in fact that is something that exists, and none of us know the specifics on this. Only, like, real insiders would ever know the specifics on this. But if you think about Rodgers and his seat, like how he sounded frustrated when McCarthy took the play calling back, and he said it was all about execution, had nothing to do with the play calling. It kind of seemed like he was defending Clements a little bit.
Yeah,
he's talked on his own a million times about how much Clements has meant to him, and we kind of think he doesn't necessarily think McCarthy's a genius.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Clements
being
gone would almost force them to have a better relationship, because it's like Rodgers doesn't have someone else's side to take or someone else to give more credit to than the head guy?
I think Clements being there in the coaching room and just part of the organization still, like, is kind of just keeps a cloud over the season altogether in a strange way, because it's just a failed project, having him try to take over play calling, and it didn't happen the way that, you know, obviously McCarthy and staff hoped that it would. And now it's, like you said, it's like he's in a strange purgatory. I don't know exactly how this sounds, but maybe the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy relationship, it's never going to be great. It could be good. I think it's never going to be really, really great, because they just are not going to ever see eye to eye on things.
I'll still never fully understand it.
Like, Am I wrong though?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I'll just never fully understand where, like, the frustration begins.
I think
when you're having so much success, and granted, one Super Bowl in this time frame, as great of a player as Aaron Rodgers is, it's not as much success as you'd probably hope for. But I'm just saying, like, it's not like, you know, there's only one season, his first year as a starter, that they haven't made the postseason. They don't have that letdown year that even some great quarterbacks have one year, and then they're back at it the next. They never even have that. Like, they're always in the conversation. So
yeah.
It's still puzzling to me how it ever got to be a thing.
Yeah, so I think that Clemens will be gone, and I don't think it's going to necessarily bolster the relationship. I think it's easy to masquerade the poor relationship when your team's playing well, because, like you said, success can bury a lot of underlying issues. Because when you're winning, you don't dig as deep to find what could be the root of an issue because you're winning, and that's what happened the first 6 weeks of the season. It was a bad football team who just kept winning. And even, like, you could see him starting to be on the descent a little bit, especially in that the Chargers game before the bye. The Chargers are not good. We've seen that this season. And Packers almost lost to the Chargers at home.
Yeah,
potentially should have lost to the Chargers at home. Gave up 500 yards
in
the air.
I thought that one was in...
San Diego?
Yeah, that one was in San Diego. Because our boy made the play on the final. That was
Demarius.
Yeah, that was in San Diego. Because there was a bunch of Packers fans there and stuff, weren't there?
Well, regardless of where it was.
Yeah.
Still a
would-be terrible loss.
It was in San Diego. You're right. But, right. So, I think that he'll be gone. And it's... That might be a hot take right there. That it's going to, like, magically, like... cure the relationship between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, could be hot, but I thought interesting.
Yeah,
to think about.
I don't hate analyzing it from that perspective.
Yeah. All right. So, on a week where, like, really good people at what they do are on vacation, and you know, I'm sitting here looking to download like podcasts that I normally listen to. Of even, you know, radio shows
and everybody's
on the train ride and no one's actually working. I think we did a really good job of like lowering our own standard.
This is a good week to do it though.
Right. It's a throwaway week for many. It's a mail-in week for many. It's a hungover / I'm ready to get this over with and go continue partying week for many. So we were just trying to fit the form. And I also think that this is just like what Arizona brought us to. We're just... you know, just totally discombobulated, sitting here scratching our heads like, what do you even do with
It's that? Almost a little fitting that we would follow a performance like that with a performance like that that we brought forth today.
Just all over the place, but there's just too much. But no, we will I think we'll probably be back, probably with some good analysis from other guests that we like to bring on the podcast again next week. So keep it locked. Thanks again, Packers Talk Net, for giving us the platform to be able to talk about the team that we love. At Nick Bornheimer on Twitter, at Alex Patakis on Twitter.
We've got a playoff preview podcast next week. You like that alliteration right there?
I do. The PPP, the triple P. Wait, no. Speaking of P's, we didn't even do quick prediction. Are they going to win or are they going to lose? Home, division on the line, all the marbles.
I pick them to win every week for some reason. Actually, I would not have picked them last week if we hadn't done the podcast.
Me neither.
I do think that they win, and I think that they end up playing Seattle probably.
Okay, right. And then we could deal with that game later. I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah, I think that they win at home against the Vikings. Because both teams, I mean, they're playing for the North, and that just seems like one that the Vikings would squander, I think.
Bad reasoning, but I'm with you.
Terrible
reasoning, but I'm with you. Also, the last time they beat the Vikings this season was when things looked really, really bad, and you thought there's no way they look great, and it got back to broken plays. And, you know, just Rodgers making one or two throws.
It hinges on the offensive line. How healthy are they going to be?
Yeah.
Is Rodgers going to have any time at all?
And there's another team in this matchup, not named the Green Bay Packers, whose offensive line really struggles. And we saw some old lays from Khalil on when the Packers started sending pressure and they got home to Bridgewater. And I've seen this defense on certain games at home just tee off on guys. Remember what they did to Sam Bradford? Remember how like it seemed like he wasn't going to make it out of that game alive? Or no, I'm thinking of Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. they swapped quarterbacks. Yeah, exactly. I'll give you a pass on that.
Just made it like almost an like you might as well punt on third down to save your quarterback getting just hit right in his like chin on third down, which was happening.
The punt on third down, the at ESPN BD approach.
Exactly. Just catch him by surprise, man. I think there's a chance to see a little bit of that with the Packers defense and at home. Defense keeps them in it, allows them to actually establish a run, which Mike McCarthy loves doing. And I think they end up winning the division. And as bad as the season has been, 11-5, another division championship.
You can still get that. You can still get that 2015 NFC North championship hat.
That's right. You can still rock that one. No one will question you. awesome. All right, that'll do it. Two-Pack Podcast. Two of us talking Packers. We'll catch you next week.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.